Okay, so we are continuing now in the topic of Nikaj Bechametz, Sheisha Samala, broadly speaking, you should be serving out Derabanan Deraisa. And the last thing we were just finishing up, we had presented the Machokas, which we're going to be focusing on, Machokas between Rashi Bahag, Rashba, and a whole slew of other Rishonim, Ritzvah, Rini Peretz, the Riyaz, the Meiri, they also say substantially the same thing. On the question of the nature of the din of Rabbi Gidel, the fact that Mikadesh Bechametz Ta'asim Yerbanan is in on Kiddushin, just like Daraisa, according to Rashi, Udimav, Bahag, and others, the basis for this is an independent, additional rabbinic intervention. That's another law that they pass, or another din that they were Mikadesh, that we're mafkia the kiddushin when you use the chametz pasim yerbanan, so that it would then track what happens on the deraisa level, whereas other shonim, they're being parrots and all the others, I'll say that is unnecessary. That isn't the case. What's going on here is not afkia new rabban the kiddushin minay or hefker based in hefker or anything like that. It's simply they did one sole thing here. They asked it b'hana. They made it asur b'hana. Once that happens, then naturally, there's a natural evolution to the din of Rabbi Gidel that Mekadesh b'Yisurei Derabanan is also Eino Mikudesh, not because of an additional intervention, but because that's just naturally the din. The way they explained it, Rabbi Peretz gave, we discussed yesterday, two formulations, right? The basic idea, these are trying to say, is that Mekadesh b'Yisurei at least here, but presumably in general, the reason that Eino Kedushin is because there's no Nesinas Mamon, there's no Nesinas Shvei Pruta. And these are trying to explain that when the Rabbanan answered it, the Hana, so then there simply is no Shvei Pruta. The way the Rabbeinu Peretz says it, he brings two explanations, two arguments, which we discussed a little bit yesterday. Namely, one is the fact that there's an Israel Limkor. You're not able to sell it. You're not allowed to sell it. And the second is, and even if you were to sell it, meaning it's a Konim market, and find people to buy it, meaning there's nobody who's willing to pay for it. So the market value is non-existent. Nobody's willing to spend any money on it, or at least not a pruta. And separately, I think, he adds this point that it's usher. So I just wanted to first clarify what I was explaining yesterday about what that means, the first point, the Isra of the Mocher. It's quite significant, I'll come back to it. But what I think he means is, I think he's giving an independent reason that there's no Nesina Shvei Pruta here. What he's saying is, even set aside the fact that there's a market for it, even if there were to be a market for it, it would still be relevant to the assessment of the value. Whatever you could get for it in the market won't be used to assess its value because, for the simple reason that al pidin, you have no access to the market. It's illegal for you to go access that market.
You don't usually say that, though.
What do you mean by that?
You usually say that there are tons of cases where, you have legally effective transactions, even though they are in the world of not allowed. We don't usually.
The question here is, hold on. Just let me clarify. I'm not saying anything is ineffective. I'm not saying the mechira is ineffective. That may be true, but maybe not for this reason.
So why? I guess my question is, what is the basis for I guess maybe. Are you saying that?
Because the mechanism which would justify considering it to be a value is something that is illegal for you.
Even though you might do it anyway.
Correct.
Why?
Why would we say that?
Why isn't the value? Meaning, if someone gives you money, if someone can legally give you money, and you can legally.
Well, when you heard, but they can't. Why is that? You can't legally sell it to them.
They can
efficaciously. Well, hold on, but it's us to do so. I mean, the question of whether or not it's effective is a separate question than the question of whether or not it's mutter. Right? The totality of Torah takes the full view here, and the full view is you're not allowed to access that market. So what we're claiming justifies considering it the equivalent of, let's say 10 brutas, let's say that's what you might get for it in the market, is not something that is available to you al pidin.
Yeah, but
it's us for you to do so. In other words, the idea is that the assignment of a value to the item is due to the fact that the person can, at any moment, just simply flip it for the equivalent value and dump it. But the fact I'm not saying this follows necessarily. I'm just saying this seems to be the argument. But if the Torah says that is not available to you, I don't mean that it would be an invalid act if you did it. It might be invalid. It might not be. But let's say even if it were valid, the point would be that the means by which you would come to that value, you would get damim for it, is illegal.
But like, so would it then say that you would not ban them from it? Like,
say again?
Meaning, in this case, you are giving the woman the thing that's asur hanav, and we are saying that that is an ineffective kedushin because the woman has not received something of value. The woman then converts that illegally into value. Are we saying that she did not actually receive the value that she said that she received? Like,
hold on. Two things. One is, again, the question is, you're raising a point which he does not raise, or he does. We'll see others trying to raise the fact that even if she gets it, she herself cannot sell it, which could be a relevant point for another reason.
Isn't that the point of emphasis that we're focusing on, whether or not she receives a...
That's not what Rabbi Peretz is focusing on. We'll see that there are other things that don't focus on either. Because the question, we'll see, it's part of the question, but there are a lot of Rishonim that say that the issue is, could he himself sell it? In other words, if he himself can't sell it, so then biyado, as it stands right now, it is not worth the pruta. And what I'm explaining, I think, is that the idea is that there's two different things that are going on here. One is, there's the fact, the mitzvahs. You bring this to the market, and you sell it there, and you say, here, somebody give me amount of money, and I'll give this to you, you're going to get people giving you, let's say, 10 prutas. Then there's the legal assessment, which is the value of this thing is $10. And what they're saying is, what these Rishonim are saying is, if we don't allow you to go through that first step, then the fact that you get 10 prutas is not its value. Because what we're saying, what Halacha deems, is that market is not available to you. You are not to go there. There's nothing necessary about this. You could have said, well, okay, but that's not how we assess value. But they're arguing is it is. We assess the legal means by which you can obtain... by which you can attain damim, and there are none here. And therefore, you know, the fact that Lamaisa you would be able to go there, that's not going to represent its value. Because we've forbidden you from converting it into any damim. So whether or not you do so, the value of it, as far as Allah is concerned, as it stands in your hands, is zero. Because this thing is not allowed to go onto the market. Yeah. Again, I think the analogy I gave you guys yesterday is, you know, the owl that they're taxing, right? It seems more obvious, you know, the tension here when you go the other way, if you were to not say this, and you're talking about something like Chovas Adam. So taxing a person for the value of this thing that off American law you're not allowed to sell seems perverse, right? And the reason I like that example is because, you know, he's got to pay that taxes, and, you know, that's a case where its value, its supposed value monetarily is something that he's going to need to get to in order to pay for the thing that you're charging him for. But the means of getting that has been made illegal for him. He has no legal access to that market that you're claiming the value of it is. So one response might be, the problem here is that you're assessing the value by running through a process which we say you're not allowed to engage in. You're not allowed to bring it to market and see what you get for it and sell it. So that means the fact that if you were to do so, you get this amount is irrelevant because we say you can't do so. That's the point. No, it's not.
If the whole issue is not it being lachem, not that it's like being halachically pure.
Well, hold on, lachem on the question.
Right, no, I'm just like using it as like a foil. But I'm saying, like, if the whole issue is merely
the whole issue of what?
I mean, if the whole issue of, like, let's say, like being halachic or something like that, just take an example.
Yeah, it happens to be the Rishonim don't speak in those terms, but one can wonder why not. Yeah.
Right, I'm saying it's
they speak more in terms of shovi, which I'll get to.
Yeah. Okay. So. Well, I guess that was where I was going to go with this, why would you say then that it's not a good kedushin because it's not halachically, it's not halachic currency?
It's not, it doesn't have a value. I mean, when you say currency, so in halacha there's a term for kesef, there's currency.
Right,
certain things are not, we say shvei kesef, kesef for a lot of things, but not for everything.
But it does have value, just not value that's recognized by halacha.
Right.
But who says that the value has to be? Who says that the value has to be recognized by halacha?
Halacha. I mean, the Torah is the one that's affirming that there's a ma'aseh kedushin here. It says you need a shvei pruta. So the halacha is saying, I mean, if you want to define value as that which you could Lamaisa get when you were to trade it on the thing, that's fine for you, but that's not how we're doing it. We're doing it, right? The halachic economic system involves, you know, actually being able to bring it to market and you know, where there's imperatives, and you might say, you know, the economic code is, I mean, even in economic codes you can't do certain things, you're allowed to do certain things, you're not allowed to do certain things, but the Torah certainly has that. So that can impact whether or not, I mean, it's the idea is that practically speaking, you need to be able to actually translate that into Dhamim, and if we say that you're not allowed to do so.
And even though you practically can, it doesn't matter.
I mean, you practically could violate the Isser, right, but the assumption that a value on this view, I'm not, again, we'll see, I think the original disagree with this, but what they're, I think, saying is that we can't ascribe to it a value that is gained only by violating the laws that we're prescribing. Or at least we don't do that. The Ritva states the premise here explicitly. If you want to go through it now, just because you're pressing me on it, take a look at the Ritva, the bolded line on page number 5. So the Ritva says it explicitly in the context we'll get to in a second, pretty soon. But that's the main point, is Einlanu, I don't know, I mean, he's saying it more of a, I would say not that it's not a good assessment. Maybe the guy is a Russia. But it's if you assume that value is determined by the exchange, something that there's absolutely no impediment, if there's no impediment to your just simply exchanging that for the, let's say, 10 prutas, that's what determines its value as 10 prutas. But if there's a legal impediment to doing that, then that access to that 10 prutas is blocked, and we would say, on this view, so I'm not sure, if that, I think it's the Ritva saying something like that. I don't think he's just saying Lachzuki Yinish, you know, Be'avera, Lomachzuk, Mitzchaskina. I think he's saying that it's not the halachic prerogative to assume that something has value only based on violating the law. Okay. I think those are what we've seen so far. So now what we were addressing was that Rishonim dwell on one particular Nafkamina. We'll see, by the way, we'll see other answers to the question of the Shobi. I want to see, summarize what we've seen so far, and then come back to the major questions. But just one item on the agenda here that the Rishonim focus on, they dwell on one particular Nafkamina to the two views. And again, two views being, on the one hand, saying that to make it the Yisurei Hana Derabanan ineffective for Kiddushin requires a separate Din Derabanan, a separate Maisa Chazal, and being attacking that's the case. It requires Hefker Beis and Hefker, Afkinu, versus saying that there's no separate legislation, no separate intervention, no separate act that's necessary, simply Asuring it Bahana, saying you can't derive benefit from it, that'll do the job in terms of Kiddushin Bisuri Hana on its own, because it's not then Nisina Shri Puta. So Shram dwell on one particular Nakmina, that being Mikadesh Mipsule Eidos Derabanan. In terms of the actual positions on this issue, so we mentioned the Baal Eter cites the Chuvas Harif, that ain't kosher in the Kiddushin. Most Shonim, including Rav Aigon already, and Rambam and many others, assume that kosher in the Kiddushin in that case. And Rishonim in the Rav in particular perceive this as a nafkamina to these two perspectives on why there's no Kiddushin b'Yisurei Hana d'Rabbanan, in the case of Rav Gidol at least. The Rav's assumption was that Hafkas Kiddushin is only applied where there's precedent for its being applied. And then this becomes a nafkamina, right? If one holds that Yisur Hana b'Chametz d'Rabbanan isn't good, right, it's ineffective because Afkinu Rabbanan Kiddushin minay and Hefker b'Yisurei Hefker, then who adinami you, or you have at least a good argument, that P'sulei Eidos d'Rabbanan will also be ineffective, because basically what we can see from here is that we have a d'Rabbanan extension of a d'Oraisa category. The Yisur Hana in our original case, the P'sulei Eidos into the case that we're extending it to, where the d'Oraisa application of that category entails the P'sul HaKiddushin, undermines the Kiddushin. And we see that when that happened, the Rabbanan followed up their d'Rabbanan extension. They gave it teeth by nullifying the Kiddushin via Afkeinu. That's in the case of Chametza Asar Midivrayim, right? We see that, and therefore, same thing would happen, the argument goes, same thing should happen, ought to happen, in the case of Suleidus d'Rabbanan, and that's exactly the argument presented by the Reb Arash, that this is the precedent. Again, I don't see the Bahag and the Baal Eter, when they cite this sheet of you know, Afkinu, the guy with Psula Eidos d'Rabbanan, they actually don't mention Chametza Sheshal Tal Mala, but a bunch of other Rishonim do, not only those who argue against it, but even, in fact, there are some that argue for it. Reb Arash says that this is the model, this is the basis for it. Whereas, if one holds that Kiddushin are betalim here, not because the Rabbanan came along and they intervened and they said, Afkinu, but rather, simply, once they forbid it, then naturally, kiddushin were betalim because it loses value, right? There's no nesina shrifut at that point. So then there is no such precedent, obviously, for kiddushin be'edim sulim derabanan, because at that point you have something which is both shvefut deraisa and edim deraisa, right? So there's a fully good ma'aseh kiddushin on the deraisa level, and we don't have any precedent for saying that the Rabbanan are going to follow up on their extension by nullifying the kiddushin afterwards. Now, as a brief aside, we just want to complete the picture regarding the din of Suleyedes Rabbanan and its relationship to our case. And what we noted was first that it's possible to accept the view of Rashi and Bahag that it's based on Afkinu, but still hold that Choshen the Kiddusha in the case of Suleyedes Rabbanan. And that would emerge if one took the position that we don't apply Afkinu to new cases at all. In other words, it isn't just that Afkinu is only applied. It's not true that Afkinu is limited in that we only apply it to new cases when those new cases have very compelling precedent and you know, very close analogies. That's not the case. Afkinu isn't applied at all, other than the ones that are actually mentioned. If that's the case, on this view, even if you understand that the din of chametz, ha'asar, bisuri, hana, derabanan, it is based on Afkinu, rabanan, l'kiddusha minei, but you will say, that's fine, but that's where we find that it's been used. We don't find, there's no sugi that says, Hamikadesh be'edip sinir derbanan in Mugadeshis. And therefore, even if I accept your argument that, well, it will be the same kind of idea, you know, following through on a derbanan extension, etc., but nonetheless, we don't do that. Right, that's what we follow. We would say still, we would still say Koshin of Kedushin, and that's likely the sheet of the Rasha himself, who did invoke Afkinu, but strenuously objected to the position of the Rif. We can only apply what was actually done in cases that were told that Afkinu. We don't start, you know, then analogizing, and we collect on the Afkinu that was already offered. We don't do Afkinu ourselves. Second, so that's the number one point out, just in terms of the competing picture, that despite the fact that this is viewed in the Ra'ah and Rifah as being a you know something which is subject to this question. If you hold that the basis of is Afkinu, then you have a good argument. If you hold that it's just a natural progression, there's no shobi, then you don't. So number one, you might say that you don't have a good argument, even if you assume right that it's based on Afkinu. And then number two, this is where we left off in the middle, I think it's possible to accept that Kiddushin Mechametz Rabbanan doesn't require a separate intervention. There's no Afkinu, there's no Hefker Beis and Hefker. Right, again, the idea being that once it's Asur Ba'anas, the natural impact of that is that it won't be Shveipruta, and it won't be, you won't have a Shveipruta within Kiddushin, but still see it as a precedent for saying Kiddushin Rifne Eidim Sulim and Yerbanan is completely ineffective. And the basis of that, this is what I was going to start to develop, is first, something which ironically is laid out by the Rif himself very clearly. The Rif himself uses Kiddushin Bisure Hana Derabanan as precedent for treating Sule Eidus Derabanan as if they were Deraisa. Not in our context, but in the context is the din of Shvuas Eidus. I adjure the Eidim, I make them take a Shvua that they don't know Eidus for me. I can they do, they come, they don't, I make them take a Shvua. So it has its own unique din. So the Mishnah says, Shvuas Eidus no Heges Ba'anashim Melo Ba'anashim, Berchokim Melo Ba'krobim, Dekshirim Melo Ba'suin, Ve'inu Nagas El Beruyin Lai. So naturally the question obviously emerges, which I'm going to ask, what is Inu Nagas El Beruyin Lai if not all these things that you just told us? The people that are not kosher. So the Mishnah presents two opinions. Right? Lefuki Mai, what's to the exclusion of what? So Rapapa said Lefuki Melech, who's not quite, you might not describe him as puzzle. It's more Mishim Kvoda, we don't allow him, but he's not really puzzle with Gavra. You know, one way to understand it. Rav Acha Bar Yaakov says Lefuki Misaka Kuvia. So the Gemara ends up saying that the second day, the Rav Acha Bar Yaakov will hold Misaka Kuvia, so he thinks, of course, the Melech as well. But the other day, Rapapa doesn't agree in Misaka Kuvia. He thinks Misaka Kuvia, no Heges Bodin Shuas Eidus. Why? So the Gemara explains that Misaka Kuvia Midoraisa Mitzah Chazi Rabbanan Hudibasu. Midoraisa, you're dealing with a Kasher Eid. So it's Behue. Right? Oh, Yadar Ra. Yidim Lo Yagi, Menasa Avino. So the Rabbanan may not accept the testimony, but the point is he is a Kasher Eid, the Gavra. So that's what the Gemara says. And therefore, Misaka Kuvia, according to Rapapa, the Din of Shuas is no Heges. What is the explanation for the other opinion? What's the explanation for the opinion that ain't no Heges? So the Rishon here provides, right? B'hadik tani ain't no Heges l'varon l'pirshu v'gemar l'si melech l'psalei d'rabanan. The apagad d'ksherim l'hayid min ha'Torah Ein shvuz ayin. He's not hagis them. The rachman alochi if korban elu b'misha roi lahayid ba'oz hashah. The pesid in layagid ve'elu einam ruuyin lahayid. Domel l'masha amru b'mekadosh b'suri hanadir banan she'ein choshen l'kidusha b'shim d'lo yevlash v'yikruta. Ritva says same thing in Yoma. Im le'agivin atzav v'no. Or perish gzeres v'kazahu d'chod d'lo mahanya ha'gadas o lo mechayv lo shanam midirayis lo shanam d'rabanan. Which you give us a bit of Kaddish Mishra and other Banim, Gresh is called the Kayikach, Mishra Kruta, Amar Rahmana, but Rish Miduka. Rivka explains very simply what is the idea? The idea is that the halacha of Midaraisa required practical efficacy, had a certain practical, pragmatic bottom line. The Torah's Mechayiv, not if you have a shame aid, Torah's Mechayiv, where Lo Yagid. You had to actually have been able to be Magid. Now, why weren't we able to be Magid? It really doesn't matter. Right, it's a practical question. Your testament doesn't float in Beis Din, right? It doesn't fly, doesn't hunt, right? So then it doesn't matter why not. Again, the check bounces for whatever reason. The point is you're not going to get anything. So says the Ritva, that's the Yisod. Yisod is that for De'oraisa Dinim, which rely on a certain practical reality, the halachic formal explanation, origin of the reality, is not as relevant as simply the fact that that's the reality. You're not going to be able to be Magid. You're not going to be a Shvei Pruta. Doesn't matter why not. Once that's the case, the De'oraisa is not going to apply.
Would there be other Davar-Hitzoni sort of exclusions that fall under that?
What is that?
Like, would there be other sort of like Davar-Hitzoni exclusions that would also trigger this? Like, let's say if there was another reason where, practically speaking, you would be unable to testify.
You mean like if your feet are broken and you can't come to Basin? It's a question to be asked. It wouldn't be surprising though if we said, no, there's no legal impediment. Meaning it's not a din. There's no such thing. I mean, we may have to, you know, delay your testimony, but testimony is still accessible. The question is Basin is Kabbalah your aegis? So it's not a matter of just simply practically being able to go and deliver your aegis. The point is that it's something which is acceptable to Basin. Whether or not you can deliver it, it's a scheduling question. So if you say this, so then you need to add one other premise, though, to get to the point where we could then say, Edim, Kiddush Mifne Edim, Psulim Yerbanan, for the same reason of Kiddushin Bechamitz Yerbanan, it's going to be the same point, it's not going to be good. What would we need? What would the added premise be? And why is the Ritva not, this is not a self-contradiction in the Ritva. Why not? I mean, the Ritva is telling me, Edim Psulim Yerbanan, the Maisa, they can't be Magid. So, Why is he so vociferous about, you know, there being no? It's true, maybe Afkeinu is not a good, you know, it's not good as a precedent that we use Afkeinu, but maybe it should be good for a different reason, because even if we don't use Afkeinu, but Lamaisa, they're not Magid, so they should be puzzled anyway. What's Ritva obviously going to respond to this? Okay, what do you think the Ritva might respond to this? I mean, if I just showed the Ritva what he wrote in Shuas, he's going to have to retract and say, you know what? You're right. Kiddushin Bechamed Zerabanan is a good precedent for saying Mekadosh Bepsuli Zerabanan. True, not because of Afginu, but for this other reason. Is he going to say that, or is he going to say, yeah, that's not relevant here?
You could say they are different. Like, when we have a Chamsada, it's like, meaning, we said, both at our level, they're both fine. That's the thing. But like, meaning over here, if we're focusing also on two different things. When we're talking about the chapsa is no good, it's worthless, he said.
But the Ritva is the one who's comparing it. He's saying,
yeah,
the point is that the practicality is the issue.
Yes.
Will it cash in the bank? Will the aegis cash? What do you think? Are you? What? Yeah, the question though. No, so I think the answer is going to be that what's relevant for the din shvuas aegis is not necessarily what's relevant for Eidos B'Kiddushin. When it comes to Shavuos Eidos, the Torah says, Imla Yagid B'Hagadah, Tal Yom.
You need to be able to have that.
What?
You need to be able to have
that. Yeah, you know, the Torah is interested in being Mechayav Shavuos Eidos, the one who isn't Magid. That means he could be Magid. But because when it comes to Eidim,
why are you forcing that, even to say that on Midrabah level, you'd be like being Magid? Why can you say that meant only on the Midrabah level? And therefore now...
Maybe one could have.
I'm saying...
I mean, the Ritva's argument is that...
He's saying yes.
Yeah, in other words, the Ritva's point is... Let me give you an example why. Let's just say, for example, let's say Shavuos Eidos, the Mechayev was the Hesed Mamon. It's a big question about Shavuos Eidos, but let's assume that the Mechayev was Hesed Mamon. And that what's mechayev the eidim be kvishas edusan is not kvishas edus, nor is it shvushagir. What's really triggering it here is the act of being mafsid. It's just that being mafsid in the form of a shvua, in the case of eidim, the Torah treats a certain kind of way. If you say that, so then obviously it's only dependent on the maisa. Not obviously, but it's a very easy and sort of simple to see that it would depend then on, okay, the maisa, would he be able to be gobe with these eidim? If I'm not able to be gobe, even if you testify, even if you agree to testify, then your refusal to testify can't be said to be making me a victim. So, by the way, I don't know that the Rebbe is committed to saying that. I'm saying that would be an easy way to see why the practical matter of Haggadah is really what matters, because what we're saying is lamaisa, the fact that you're being mafsid, you're actually causing me monetary loss. That's the problem here. That's really the issue. And you're not doing that if for whatever other reason, you would be able to mechayim. Truth is, there's some question about, you know, what is the other day? There's another day in the Gemara. The other day in the Gemara says, right, that Misafa Kubya, Mitzichazi, and therefore it's only Rabbanan Mitzvah. So what does he think? So the simplest way to take it is, he thinks what's all that's relevant, even though it's a Zimla Yakid, but we define it not practically, but rather, you know, formally. Is he Ra'i La'gada? And that's a question that is, the Raisa has standards, and the Rabbanan has standards, but the Raisa is interested in the Raisa did. That's not what the Rashba says. Actually, the Rashba seems quite convinced by the, you know, the Ritva's formulation here, not convinced by it, but quite, he adopts it. He actually thinks it's impossible to say that even if there's minadin, there would be no hefseid because you're not allowed to testify. Nonetheless, still we're going to say your chayav shvua seidus. This is where the Rashba's chadish, the chiddush, that psulei eidim derabanan b'mamonos have an afkamina. You know what he suggests? On the basis of that eidus that is puzzle, you, there's something that can be done that wouldn't be able to be done without it. The Rashi says it can't be that if you would agree to testify, it would have no practical impact, and your refusal nonetheless is mechayev min haTorah to be the din shvua seidus. He accepts that the Haggadah tal yachasim. So he thinks that even the other mandamar here who thinks that misach b'kuvya shvua seidus no heges v'misachem b'kuvya, he thinks his assumption is, or his shita is, and the Rashi thinks this is true, that there's a nafkamina to psulei eidus derabanan on testifying in mamonos. He suggests the nafkamina is tfisa. This is the famous shita of the Rashi, but the Rashi thinks that psulei eidus derabanan allow for tfisa. If you then are tofis, so then we say it's in your hands. Whereas if there's no eidus bechlal, then the Beis Din will take it back. Yeah, so that's a huge chiddush. I don't want to pursue that further, but I'm just saying that's a major issue regarding shvuas eidus. It could relate to the nature of the mechayiv. Is it more of a din of kvishas eidus hamafsedes? If it's kvishas eidus hamafsedes, so then that's the kind of thing that would depend on, is it actually, I mean, if you're going to say that, yeah, on the books, so in the end you're not mafsedim, regardless of whether or not you decide to testify, you're not going to be able to help him. So then once you say that already, you've undermined the whole basis for the chi, right? So, as an example, that could be the question is: does it work? Is it effective? Right? No, but the major point is that what the Ritva will like to say is that that's a din regarding shvuas eidus. But kiddushin is different, and presumably, I don't know if this would just be a question of shvuas eidus versus kiddushin. It could also be a question of really kiddushin versus everything else. Here, what's a significant difference between kiddushin and everything else? Kiddushin and gerushin, maybe, and chalitza. In terms of the function of the eidim, are they really being magidim?
They're watching. They're kayam mekayim.
Eidikim. Yeah. So you might say that this is maybe understandable, and maybe we would broaden it beyond just the din shvuas eidus. Maybe there are other din. But that's all when it comes to eidim hamagidim. Because if the testimony doesn't fly, so then it doesn't fly. Right? And the Torah's, you know, relevant. What's relevant to the Torah is, does your testimony work? But when it comes to Eidei Kiyum, they don't need to be Magidim and Bezin. The whole point is they just need to be there for the purpose of the formal process of having a Kiddushin. Kiddushin requires the presence of Eidei. So there's absolutely no analogy here. What the Rebbe is talking about is a context in which, right, you're talking about something which is Lamaisa, would their Haggadah be good? And here you're talking about Eidos, which is not for the purpose of Haggadah. You're talking about having the presence of Eidei for the Kiyum Adar. And that's a pretty compelling argument. To say otherwise, you would need to say that, you know what, edekim also depends on lemaisa will they fly. And that's an unusual thing to say, but presumably you could say it, and I would just present it here. Just, this is,
why is it so unusual? Like, meaning you could say that it's underlying, like, we have some rules by Eidos, even though they're doing some other thing technically, like me being the kind of said testimony, you still need that criteria.
Normally speaking, it's the same, you know, list of sheirim that for both. But the point is that the idea that it matters practically whether or not it would work in basin, that seems to be strange. Meaning, the Ritva's point was that Shavuos Eidos, what matters is, can they be magid? If the check doesn't cash, it really doesn't matter why. The Torah's din had to do with if somebody refuses to give you that check. Now, if the check is an invalid check, it won't matter why. You don't get the money. So the argument would be that that's not really something which makes all that much sense in the context of Edekim. You could argue about it in the context of Edebir, but where you're just talking about the presence, to say that that presence depends on their practical ability to prove the Kiddushin, that's a bit of a stretch. One could accept it if you assume that actually the function of Edekim is what we're drawing that line is. It's too stark. It's not the case that this is like a whole different function. Actually, the idea of Edekim is ensure that we'll be able to prove it. That's the idea. The yisod of Edei Kiddushin is that we need to be able to prove that there's Kiddushin. They're guaranteed Edei Bureau. We need to have guaranteed Edei Bureau and as kind of a protective measure to ensure that, and to ensure that we don't have any problems with Kiddushins that aren't unknown to people. So it then says, and if you don't have those Edei that'll be able to be Mivari afterwards, we're going to be Mafkia the Kiddushin. So it wasn't really that Kiddushin needs sort of fundamentally the presence of Edei to contribute to the ceremony, to give it a certain chashivas, certain
Gravitas,
yeah. You know, that's not the idea. The idea is we really want you to have them there so that they can be mivare. This is things we're going to need to be mivare. There are very serious consequences for it. And sort of as a measure to ensure that we have it, the Torah says we're not even going to recognize it if we don't have it. That's the Chiddush HaTorah with regard to, you know, the Edei Birur of Kiddushin is that the Edei Birur of Kiddushin are so important and we want to make sure that we have them so much that the Torah says we're not going to recognize it all if you don't have it. This is the famous position, actually, of the Pnei Yeshua. The Pnei Yeshua really does speak in these terms. The Nesivos here, some long ago, sort of captures the gist of it. Because of Pnei Yeshua, right, the Afti Ikra, and his argument basically was, you know, the marker for the din of Dabar Shema Erba Be'edin, of Edabar Shema Erba Fafsin Shayim, is Dabar Dabar Mimamon. So how could it be that Mamon, you're talking about Edim Birur, but you're not talking about institutions that depend, whose very validity depends on there being Edim, you're just talking about Edim Birur. In the context of Dabar Shema Erba, you're talking about, you know, Kimata by Erba's Dabar. It seems to be talking about a case of Birur. Where do we ever have, you know, this notion of Edekim come into the picture? Right? This is because of Bnei Yeshua, after Yigur Akrad, the Dabar, the Inin Nemanus, the Makam Akasha Mairi, the Akrad, the Kimata by Erba's Dabar, the Inin Osra Bala Mairi, and Kain Minalele, and Kedushin Shalaya Kim Klablo Edim. Entire it's Asila Misvara, Kaman Ikar Kedushin Hainla Osra Akuliyama Kehektesh, the Leku. Allah be Israel's ish, became the law of the Machaivinu, below Adim, the Mukmina of the Chesses Pnu, the Gabi Akrim, Zer Shabbat, the Dabar Dabar, me made a law of Kedushin Kwal, Afa Gadal and Shai, and Kedushin Chatzain. Right? And basically the idea is that, you know, because we were required to Adim to be Mavar, and also then we say, you know what, Kedushin is a sort of a harchak, we're not going to even recognize it Bechlak. Okay? This is the general position of the Pnei Yeshua that Stevens adopts it too. It's a very practical view. That really, Eidos Lekiyum Endeavor is not fundamentally different. It's just really the only thing is it's an enforced Edei Birur. To the extent that we just sort of erase it from the picture, unless you have those potential Edei Birur. If you understand Edei Lekiyum like that, then maybe you can make the argument, you know what, we should take the argument all the way. Right? Well, like you said, Ritva, the bottom line is they're not going to be able to be Magi Bebezi. Now, you were saying it in Shuas Eidos. But maybe you could argue the argument that that's true also for the Edim of Kiddushin. The idea is different. The function there doesn't even relate to being Magi Bebezin. Answer B, maybe it does. Maybe the Deraisa Din is this condition needs to be provable in court. That's what the Deraisa Din is. And if it's not provable because the Rabbanan are not accepted because of a Din Rabbanan, it's still not provable. Then you have maybe a good argument. And then maybe you can say that. Maybe you can say, you know what, there is a good argument to be made here about Kiddushin, Bifnei Din Muslim and Rabbanan being Tehlem Ibn Deraisa. The reason for that is, in fact, something we have precedent for in Chametz, and that is where the issue, the Din Torah, concerns practical matters of efficacy or practical matters of Shogi. So then, whatever the genesis of something's unsuitability is irrelevant. The point is, it doesn't work. And maybe we'll say that really the crucial point of Edikium is that we need to guarantee the possibility of Biru. What that means is we're going to assess it, practically speaking, and then we could just basically read the Ritva in Shavuos and in Yoma into the din of Kiddush Misir Duran. I don't know anybody who says this. The Balader cites the Rit as building on Afghani. I'm just saying this would be a way to get to that argument with that. Okay, so that's just icon in terms of filling out the picture. Oh, one thing I just want to point out, it happens to be that, you know, the Ritva himself is actually the Rishon who's the clearest to articulate the separate function of Edikium. I think it's implicit in most, but Ritva have it to say explicitly, this is a famous Ritva regarding Nitzachon and Karvapasol. The Ritva is of the opinion that Min HaDin were required to be Miyaka Edim the Kiddushin because the Shem Eid that passes, at least for the purpose of Kat, as being the Hamed, is only when they're talking about Edos Biru. They're talking about Edikium, so then the Re'iyas HaDavar is what's Koveya Shem HaEid, even in Psalm Edim, in which case, at a wedding, you're going to have, you know, everybody there is seeing it. Nimtzachem and Karpasel, it is going to tell. It says, "Min HaDin, you're required to be Miyachad Edim, the apostle of everybody else, and to exclude them from being considered Edim." And this is in that context, he destroys the distinction. He says, "I know B'dinim Amanos, B'dinim Vajash, Ein Edus Miskayemes, Achav Ba'in the Bezin, V'shas Re'iyah, Lo Chashiva Edus." Right? The Eid HaRoe is live shame Eid. Well, how come the Kiddushin, Ein Edus Ba'al Ames HaDavar Bovad, Ela Filu Yadina, Dehachi Kusha Demilsa, Shekitcha, Inum Kudeshes, Blo Edus, V'ein, the Kiddushin Kiyim, Blo Edus, V'exerch Katsum. But so it's not a surprise Ripple was not even, he was very clear that what he's saying in Shavuos has no application to Eidei Kiyum B'Kiddushin. Okay, that's just the just the complete picture regarding the Kiddushin of Eidim Suvim Dirbanim, which Rishonim view as being bound up with the question of the nature of the Din of Rav Gidol. Now the Gufo Shel Inyan. Question, of course, is what's going on here, right? What exactly is this debate about? The argument that the Rebbeinu Peretz and Ritva put forward is, once something is Asbana, there's no Shavi. So that's all that's necessary. That's the basis for Kiddushin B'Talin, and that's true as well here. And Rashi apparently didn't agree. Rashi obviously saw it differently, because Rashi and the Bagdad required Afkeinu. So what is that about? What is the disagreement here? So first, just here on and analyze Yisurah Hinoah generally. The assumption that we've seen in these Rishonim, I think, is the reason Kiddushin B'Yisurah Hinoah is Batel is because you're not giving a pruta. There's no shogi here. Now that this is true, that we assess the Yisurah Hinoah as having no value, is something which sort of lurks behind a lot of dinim according to many Rishonim. But one could wonder whether or not those are in fact really based on that assessment. Maybe you can explain it otherwise. Maybe it's not that there's no shogi, there's no bias, right? Like you were talking about.
It's not
Mirushas. Or it's not Mirushas, right? I'm giving different examples, correct?
The famous...
Yeah, the Xos. I have it here on the second page of the verse. Yes. Xos and Simon Tavav says there is Bible specific right now, but there's no Rishas. That's what the Gemara means, and that's how he answers a bunch of questions. Correct. So maybe we can explain away all the dinim, but maybe there is Shobi. But this is something which is explicit, that Isurei Enoch, Chametz, has no value in the Sugya Lamed Aleph, in our paragraph, later on, in the context of the Sefta that Ha'ochel, right, I give you guys some questions, no?
Is it the Mishnah?
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's the Mishnah, right, Lamed Aleph, but they're showing it's funny, they're going to quote all four of this. The Mishnah, Ha'ochel Chumot Tzchamet Pesach, B'shogi Mishalim Kerem B'chomesh, B'mezid Patrim D'ashlomim B'meyitzim. So, if you eat a B'mezid, there's no Chiyu. Why not? So here the Gemara says that there's two different ways we might evaluate Tashlumi Truma. One Lufi Mida, two Lufi Damim. Lufi Mida means in terms of its physical quantity, you know, the space it takes up, if you will. Lufi Damim means according to its value. So the Gemara suggests that this din, the understanding of this halacha, depends on which of these you take. The Gemara says on Lamed Beis Amud Aleph, you buy Lehu, Lufi Mida Mishalim or Lufi Damim Mishalim. So the Gemara ends up. On the next stop, the Gemara tries to bring proof from the mission here. It's not Ha'ochel.
It's like the middle of the daf.
It's not Ha'ochel. Truma Tzchamet Tzpesach V'Shogig. Mishalim Karam V'Chomish. Now, Yimar Bishlama Lefid Mida Mishalim Shapir. Then you understand. Right? You understand that there's a payment here, because Lamaisa, there was this amount of stuff that he ate and got to pay. But Yomar Lefid Damim Mishalim, But if it's Lefidamim, oh, that's why I think possibly Raya to the Bilus. If it's Lefidamim, then Rishali. The question is whether or not Bilus is a necessary condition. And if it isn't, who you'd be paying to. So here you have the Gemara saying explicitly, right, that if you're talking about damim, shovi, we're focused on the value of the thing, so then it doesn't make sense. You'd have a chiyuv to pay, a chiyuv truma skama to pesach. So here you see the Gemara says explicitly, right, that something which is aser bana has no shovi. Chametz to pesach has no shovi. Ain't damim, chametz to pesach has no value to it. So that's a devar pashut. Once that's the case, it doesn't make a lot of sense for Rishonim to have seen that that is the basis for the din of Mikadesh, because you're not in Gudeshes. The thing has no value in a bar damim, so you're not meeting the standard of straight ruta. Of course, the crucial question, and this is what I think ultimately we're going to come back to with Rashi and why he disagrees with the Ritva, the crucial question is, what is the reason for that? Why is there no damim here? What is the basis for the lack of shovi for Yisuri Hana in general? Not the Rabbanan here, Yisuri Hana Daraisa. And here I think, this is what I was thinking about last night, I think that the most crucial sugya for this is actually not the ones I initially thought of, but actually, just Rashi, regarding Demei, Yisuri Hanav. Rashi is of the opinion, right, the Mishnah had said, Machron v'kidesh v'demehen v'kudeshes. And the Gemara had gone on to say that there's only two exceptions to this, right, Avodah Zarah and Shvius, the Yisur Hanav is tofesis demehen. Not so with regard to Shari Yisuri Hanav. Shari Yisuri Hanav, the Yisur ends with the Be'en. Rashi says, Rashi's opinion is that when we say that the damim are mutarim, that's only la'cherim. But la'machlef atzmo, they're asur. Now, in terms of the basis for the yisur, in one place in Avodah Zarah, Rashi says this twice in Shas. In one place it sounds like it's a din derabanan. I think the other place it's not so clear at all. But one way or the other, Rashi says, it must be that la'machlef atzmo, you have no right to use it. Why? Why does Rashi say this? So he explains in the Hulin, right? This is on the Parashi here. Rashi says in Hulin, the Yesh Omrim, so Rashi had offered an explanation. The Gemara in Hulin there, you guys did Hulin, right? Right? The Gemara in Hulin there actually works better for the assumption that there is no Isser, because the Gemara ends up saying that in Machzikin, a person will be over an Avera when he has the option of doing a Betera, and it quotes this case of being Machlif. So the Rashi is giving Yeshita, going to be pressed on. It's usher either way, so he says it's less of an isser. This is what Rashi says, Vavu gab dahashu nami isser hu lugabei, damisani mechami shavar lava pesach, di lo di yoyv le levu lukam, lo avu li yoyv lukloy, if it all, come on, the matzi lameh ve beheter, basically the assumption is, right, that what we're saying is that we rely on the fact that the person will have exchanged it, just to take a step back. The din is, the Gemara says, you can buy chametz from an ahar, from somebody who's an obir avera, right immediately after Pesach. And the reason is because even if we know that he was over an avera of keeping his chametz in Pesach, but inasmuch as there's a way to get value from his chametz beheder, we assume that even over avera are going to do so. And what we assume then is you have the right to presume that the person can exchange it with ode kachavim, assuming that the chametz of ode kachavim is not aser banan. That's part of the question. So Rashi is saying that even though once he exchanges it with the chametz for the ode avazara for the akum. Even though he does that, it's still usher to him, and therefore when he eats it, let's say if you want to eat it, if you want to get net hana from it, you mean selling it, it would still be usher for him to do so. That chametz that he traded for, the barter, right, that he traded for, is still usher to him, and he still can't get benefit from it. But nonetheless, it's a lesser isser. But then Rashi acknowledges that the simplest way to understand the Gemara is that there is no such isser. He argues that can't be. He says, V'yesh omrim, that even the person himself who was machlif, he actually, it's mutter lehanos from those damim for him too. That's not possible. Why? Right? If that were true, we would find damim lepesach. The ain damim the chametz pesach. Right? That's the safe from the mission here. Right, when you have a din which is clearly based on damim, right, the Gemara discusses that the trumas, chametz be pesach b'shogi, why you'd be chamer chodesh, but b'mezid, you're just dealing with damim, there's no question. It's going to require that there be shogi. And this is what the Mishnah says, right? Padim d'shum b'mezid. because there's no shogi, because it's Yisurin El. But if you hold, says Rashi, that mutarim lo atzmo, then Rashi says that would mean that it would be of value. That would mean that this thing that's coming to Pesach is of value. Why? Because I can easily, even though I can't benefit from it, but if I violate it, I'll then have permitted use. In other words, we would then recognize that as something that you are able to use. Rashi says it must be that you're not able to use it, and therefore we don't. So sort of Rashi assumes that what you would get for it, you know, Avera, if you can use that thing, is its value for you. Okay? So on his assumption, there's no Damun L'cham into Pesach, must be that you cannot benefit from exchanging it on the market. Okay? Good? That's what Rashi says. Others disagree. Others think that that's not a Raya. Why not? So here you have two formulations in Rishon. One is the Tosfos in Kulin and other places. Parish for Kuntras, adopting Kedusha Isha, which Shachli Ben Asim and Yerbanan. He's Tosfos very much believes that this is only Yerbanan. He says, Veneer Shapachal the Rashi Asim and Yerbanan, Mitam Shapirish Khan, in Cain, Matin Dom L'cham into Pesach. The Ains at the Yufka. The feel you adamim mutarin kishemachan mikol makom cave in delchachila aso limkor la bardamim. Right, so says Tosfos, this Rashi is incorrect because even if you assume that the damim are mutarim lo, but it's still aser for him to get those damim, and therefore la bardamim. The idea being, right, this is another place where we find the svara that the Tosfos Beit Hamidrash mentioned in the context of the chametz rabbanon. As being the basis for here we're just talking about the right of the valuation of Yisur Nav. Same point. If it's usher for you to realize to get those damim, so the halacha is not going to view that as being its value. The means by which it would have value is illegal. The system itself, which is assessing its value, is not going to take that into account. From our perspective, you have no access to that market. And this is where the Rebbe explains, right? Obviously, Rashi disagreed with that. If it's illegal for you to do that, then that impedes our taking someone who does so and what he would get for it as its value. Okay. However, there are Rishon that give a different answer. The Rat, the Ramban, and the Ritva have a different answer to the question why this is not a good Raya. What they answer is, it's not a good Raya even if you assume that it's Mutalo, it's still Ein Damim L'Chamet Pesach. Why? Says the Ramban, Macham Kiddush Renei M'Kudeshes, Letzatzi Yushami. They quote Yushami. I'll just go here, it's one line Yushami and really requires explanation. This is how they interpret the Ramban and Talmud doesn't interpret it. Rabbi Chagi B'Shem Rabbi Ze'era Kishain Demayan. Right, this is the Yerushalmi saying on the line, Machron v'kidish v'demayin. This is the Yerushalmi. It says, Rabbi Zeir, kisha'ein demayin. And Amar v'chinyin, zosemere shemikachim gzeil. So what does this mean? That's all it says in the Yerushalmi. What does it mean? It's perusho. L'fichach m'kudesha she'ein on demayin. The reason there's a kiddush here is because the damim that you get back from it are not demay ha'orla. Shemayachar she'ein tosin as demayin la'asor, I mean b'gemar dilan. The money that you get for it is not viewed as being demei osa hadavar. Had it been demei osa hadavar, the Ramban says, you have an argument. That it should be usher for you, just like they were usher. But it's not demeyan. That's the reason why they're not, and we'll see this is relevant for Rashi, obviously. He says, so and therefore the Yerushalmi is saying mikachim mikachim bezela, meaning that it must be the mikachim begezel, because these things are gezel biyada. Right, this money that he has that I traded for you on the market is gezel biyada. Other Yerushalmi say gezel hadavka. It's ma'atz matana. It's the point is it's not the mehadavar, and therefore it's mutter to use. To be mikadosh behen.
It's just not tofes. We're just saying the isser is not tofes.
It's saying the reason the isser is not tofes is because ina demayin.
I'm in trouble with that.
Ina demayin means they're not viewed as being the what you get back in exchange. It's not. It's not demay. It's not tmuras. Oh, it's not money which is viewed as the tmuras hadavar shenasan. That imposes no money back from it. There's no Dmei Mecha here. What?
You view it as Matano or like a monk.
And therefore, well, the Yerushalmi says it's like Gezel, because you're holding on the money book, which is not warranted. It doesn't come to you because what you gave him was worthless, right? Why is it worthless? Shein en l'adayim. This is the answer to Rashi. Right, Rashi had said, "Masha Amar Rashi and came atin dam lechametz pesach lo matzino she'ena damim ela gezel biyada." And even v'im yada halav v'lakach matanu shavatzali tano. Okay, he says, "Misabed lidam kamlan kachah begezel neish yadim gudesh machom yidish main gudesh elam kinya da halav she'em yisur no lakach v'shemachom lenach." Okay. So what he's saying is what? Saying very simple. The reason Rashi is wrong is not because we don't take into account the fact that you'll get on the market because it's illegal to do so. No. The reason that's not right, the reason that it's einan damim, even if it's true that you would that you could get something which you'd be able to be nana from on the market, the reason is because what you get on the market is not defined as shov yo, as dam of. Because ain lo shovi. Notice what happened here. It's not that we think lo yimse konin. Here what we're recognizing explicitly is...
what's the reason why you're... I mean, now...
Basically, the question now, what I think this is very illuminating for is the question of why is it not worth anything? Everybody agrees, right? Ain gam l'chametz. Why is that?
Yeah.
So what you see here is it's not because it doesn't have market value. That's what the Rebbein Peretz had suggested. Right? The lo yimse konin. That's not the assumption. And the truth is, that's a big problem. Lo yimse konin, what about machron b'kvidesh b'dman? Obviously, there was somebody who was konin, right? That's independently a good question. If you think that the answer, the reason Yisurei Na have no shovis, because l'maisa, lo yimse lo konin, what is the Mishnah talking about machron b'kvidesh b'dman? Unless you say that's talking about somebody you didn't know. Maybe that's what you'll have to say, right? Somebody you didn't know. But you understand the point is,
even the money he got back, we don't look at it.
So hold on. So the Tosri Peretz suggested that the reason there's no dam is because lemaisa, nobody's going to pay for it. But it would seem that that's not the case for Rashi. Rashi didn't think that you're not going to find anybody to buy it. Right? Rashi thought that it must be that you're not allowed to use it. So that thing which is, you know, supposed to be value for you, you know, the money you're getting back is actually inaccessible to you. Even if you violate, it's still inaccessible to you. Why is there a market? Well, very simple. Either because there are many of Argyonim out there, or because, you know, maybe there are mutter ways to use it, which we'll get to, that make it worth acquiring. Right? Maybe Afer, maybe Shalak B'derech, we'll get to these. So that's one possibility. But
are we saying it's mutter also to sell now? Meaning, but it's just the thing?
No,
that
not necessarily. So one possibility, why doesn't it have Shobi? Because practically, lo yimse lo konin. Another possibility is Rashi thinks that the reason is because even if you have to look on it, but you're not going to be able to use the money and to be defined as its value for you, at least, it has to be that you'd be able to use the money. According to Tosos, we find that the reason is because asul mokro. Again, not that there's no value to it, but because it's forbidden for you to realize that value. Okay? And then we have a fourth explanation. Now, the reason that it's not worth anything is because it has no value. We first establish that it has no value. Once that's the case, so then even though if we can assess market value based on what people go ahead and do, even if it's in violation, but nonetheless, what we're going to say is what you're getting is just not its value. And al korchenu, what you're getting is something other than payment for services and goods offered. You're getting either matana, if he knows about it, or you're getting gezel, if he doesn't. Why is there no value to it? The answer is not because there's no market for it, nor is it because there may be a market for it, but you have no access to it. And nor is it for Rosh Hashanah, because you can't use the dam that come out of it. The reason that there's no value to it is because even if you get money for it on the market, that's not going to be deemed money in exchange of the value of the item, because the item is valueless. Now, the obvious question to ask is, but why is the item valueless? On the view of these Hashanah, the fact that it has no shovi first starts with the determination that it has no shovi. Once it has no shovi, the money that you're getting for it in the market is not money that represents the value of the item, because the item is worthless. But why is that item worthless? That's understandable. If you said there is no value, there's something else going on here. You have to define it either as a matano or or a gazelle, right? But what's first thing to be explained is, but why is it valueless? It's not because Leib Tzilukonim, and it's not because of Zinus and Mechir. Apparently those are not either true or irrelevant. So the question is, why is that? So I'll just leave up and then we'll pick it up tomorrow. One could have said, you know, maybe this, the idea here is something which, you know, the Marxists called, I think, use theory of value. The real value of something, you know, the use you get for it. The uses that you have for it. Sort of have an independent, it's not exactly there how you go about evaluating it, but that's the real value. When it goes to the market, there could be a mismatch in theory. You're not paying the real price for it.
Isn't that like utility?
Yeah, utility, exactly. So maybe there's a sort of, we can say there's a general economic theory in the background here regarding value, that there's a use theory of value. So what we'll say is practically the Kona is not allowed to use it. And the Torah deems something that the Kona is not allowed to use as worthless. He's not getting anything he can do anything with legally. And therefore, even though you put it on the market, people pay for it. But because there's no use for him, no lawful use for him, so then it's worthless for the Kohen. He's viewed as paying, you know, for something that has no actual value. There's a distinction between the market value and the actual value. This, I think, is not at all obvious. I think that there's a different answer, though, and it relates ultimately to Rashi, which I'll come back to. The idea here is, that's not the point. It's not an economic theory. The idea here is that this is simply part of what the Torah does to Isurei Nav. What happens here is that it's not that there's a sort of a natural loss of value for one reason or the other. You can't use it because no people are on the market. No. The assumption that Ein Lo Damim is due to the fact that the Torah strips it of its value. The Torah determines, it goes there, that no matter what might come on the market for it, it itself is a thing of no value. The Torah is mafkia its significance artificially. And I would argue that this is part of the more general program the Torah has for Yisurei Na'ah, relating to the very imperative. I mean, how did the Yerushalmi characterize the Yisurei Na'ah? L'rachako. The Torah wants this to be distant from humanity. L'rachako, see. And the idea is not just the Torah asserted it, but it, as part of being l'rachako, it's stripped it of all significance. Sort of, you know, assumed what the vision that the Torah has for it, which is that it is to be non-used, non-considered, out of the picture, and therefore the Torah is mafkia all sorts of things. One, we'll get to this question, but a lot of Rishonim believe there's no bialas b'Yisurei Na'ah. Why is that? Why is there no bialas b'Yisurei Na'ah? There may be an argument to make that somehow this is a natural thing, that once you can't use it, you lose your bialas. It's a very strange thing to say. Maybe you'll say, well, that's a function of the show. Also a very strange thing to say. You can own things which I don't believe anybody thinks otherwise, even something Rashi says it. You can own things which are less than a pruta. There's no question about that. You don't lose your bialas just because something depreciates in value to below a pruta. So how is it that there's no bialas? Why is there no bialas? So the answer is because that was part of the hafgasa Torah. The Torah is mafkia, the significance, the relevance, the chashivus of this item in all of its relevant aspects, you know, the normal ways that people usually engage with objects. This has no significance. So you can't own it, and it's not considered to be bearing value. The Torah is koveya this. Once that's the case, then the fact that you can trade it on the market, legally, illegally, but the fact that you can trade it on the market and get money for it, al korchenu, since it's deemed to be worthless, al korchenu, the money that's given to you in exchange is not demei hamekach, ain't demeian. But that's the basis for the fact that there's no value. Not a practical thing. It's not that you can't find konim, and it isn't that, right? And it isn't that there's an iser to access the konim. The reason that there's no value to it is because the Torah is koveya. It has no value. It's mafkia. It's the recognition of its value as part of being merachako. All right, we'll pick up tomorrow. Yeah? No? I want to get through some of the time. Yeah? Sorry, I just have the class now. So. Okay, so.